そこにあるヘイ剣族旗君は王子剣族旗 be with me。 Hello and welcome to AMO Kenzoku episode 65. We are a group of four bubblegum crisis boomer otaku who wanted an excuse to talk about anime, manga, and any related subjects we find interesting. The Kenzoku are...
Hello, I'm Nick.
Hey all, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Sam.
And I am your host tonight, Dylan. This episode is being recorded on the 20th of February, 2025. Subject of this week's episode is the Kenzoku's 3, the 24 through 25 episode. And with that, say Hashin! So, before getting into the Kenzoku's, I do have a correction from last time. I misspoke with a horrible Digipan Mega Jiggle OVA from the early 2000s, and I had said it was Nurse Angel Ririka. That is wrong. That was actually like a Ribbon Comics girls. The one I was trying to name was Amazing Nurse Nanako, and that's all you should ever do. You should not ever watch the show. Just that's one of the things that's kind of like the anti-Golden Boy, or what Golden Boy should have been, almost, of like Golden Boy without any heart or soul and with more digipaint.
Yeah. Which you would think it was, but it wasn't actually.
Oh god, it probably wasn't digipaint. It just looked like it was digipaint.
Oh, I just mean the camera.
That late Cell era that looked digipaint was really weird.
Yeah, that transitional era definitely was pretty strange.
So, with that, we're gonna get right into the Kenzoku's and we'll start having people present their nominations, and then we'll give out the awards in a very formal manner, and we'll figure this all out. So, the first Kenzoku is for Best Late to the Party. And this is generally someone who found and got into something later, and they were happy they did. I have a good nomination based off of things this year, and I'll start it off just to get going. And I will go with Abinobashi Maho Shotengai, because that show was way cool. And somehow I missed out on seeing that show for like 20 years. And I feel the fool, but I also feel cool that now I know that it's a good show. I guess I'll start calling on others for any nominations they have, and if you don't have anything, you can say skip, and that's okay. So I'll go to Nick next.
Yeah, this topic was actually the most challenging for me, because, not trying to flex, but out of all the stuff we did this past year, there was not a lot that I was already not familiar with, so it left me with some slim pickings, and I had to think actually long and hard. It really came down to two properties. First is Shinsekai Yori, and the other is Shin Godzilla. So two completely different, about couldn't be more different, probably, subjects. And after careful consideration, I had to just eke it out to Shin Godzilla, only because, a lot of, I would say, arbitrarily biased reasons, but I mean, you know, we all know I'm an Anno fanboy. Uh-huh. And also, it was wasn't the first of the Shin series I watched, that was Kamen Rider, but I would say out of those two, it was the one I think I enjoyed more. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was interesting. It's been a long time since I've watched kind of like live-action Japanese film, so it was a kind of an interesting return to it. Nothing wrong with Shinsekai Yori. I overall would say that I feel better for having watched it, but I just too many other factors of Shin Godzilla that made it feel more unique to me.
All right. Let's go with Mike.
Yeah, I can totally understand where you're coming from, Nick. If I hadn't seen either of those, they would definitely have been in contention. For me, I think probably I have to give it to the to Bakemonogatari, even though I still haven't watched past what we watched for this show because I'm trying to find a copy that looks less like ass than crunchy.
Oof, yeah.
Just in general, I like the writing from that show and the style, and if I can live with the visuals, then I'll look forward to seeing much more of it.
All right, and Sam?
For me, it was... I feel like it was a pretty easy choice, but it was Uzumaki was something that I felt like I should have read a long time ago. And man, it's I was not prepared for how good it was, like how good it is. It really exceeded all of my expectations. Like I'd never read a lot of Junji Ito stuff. I'd read some here and there, and I kind of knew what he was about. But Uzumaki is just so good. It really is fantastic. And I can't believe how old it is.
Yeah. You know, I think I would probably have to, I might have to change my vote over to Uzumaki as well.
Oh.
Cause I don't think I had read it before we started getting into that, or at least as part of a prep for it. And in the last year, I read that series through like 4 times.
And then subtract one for watching the anime.
Yeah.
Dun dun dun, foreshadowing.
So, those are all, any of those, they're all winners. Every choice there is a winner. Anyone else have any other changing thoughts or other opinions on anything?
Wait, did you say what your original choice was? Did I miss that?
Mine was Abe no Bashi.
Oh yeah, Abe no Bashi. Okay, yeah. Is a good one, for sure.
Yeah. It's one of those things where like it's such a very personal one, cuz like I could easily have been bouncing between, like, I think if I hadn't seen Shin Godzilla before, I probably would have picked Shin Godzilla, but it's so hard to say because I had other choices I had to make. So but those are all excellent choices that we all win for having consumed.
Yeah, agreed. I think we're all better for having consumed everything that was mentioned in this topic. So
yeah.
So the winner is everyone, and all of those products get the which Kenzoki is it? They get a standard Kenzoki, but it got on the wrong boat, so it's gonna get to them in like 3 or 4 years.
I'll say that this Kenzoki is probably out of print.
Oh, it's definitely out of print.
Discontinued.
It's definitely definitely discontinued. You have to go surfing the seven seas to find this Kenzoki. Okay, that was a good start. All right, so now on to a fun topic of hottest garbage, and this can be defined however people want to define it. So I will we'll start with Mike.
Well, I'll just turn this into a worst late to the party, since this is the year I finally watched Angel Cop, so yeah, I'll toss that in there as hot garbage, just because I'm not going to say it has a whole lot of redeeming value.
It is incredibly violent, that's for sure.
Yeah. Boy, yeah, I don't know if I've actually even seen that, and if I have, it's been a very, very long time, like VHS time.
Yeah, same here.
I would say it's worth watching to make fun of it. It's one of those where you sit there with a group of friends and you just mock it because it's got a lot, like, I guess like Mike said, it's pretty irredeemable, but it is.
Yeah, it was a summer anime meeting when there were like 2 of us there and everyone else was at AX or something, so it was just we're probably never going to actually get around to watching this if people with standards are here, so
And you're supposed to watch the dub with that one, right? Isn't that the deal? Because it's so ridiculous.
Probably. We ended up watching the sub, so I may have to give it another watch with the dub when there is sufficient social lubricant involved.
All right, that's a good one. Okay, let's go next down the line to Sam.
This is actually pretty hard. I watch a lot of mediocre stuff throughout the year. I'll say I'm going to go with the really embracing the hottest garbage. I think Shangri-La Frontier. I've continued to watch this show. It's not very good. It's kind of an isekai, but it's not really. It's just a guy playing a video game, and like it's about him playing this MMO, and that's
funny, because I recall when we mentioned it earlier in the year, like we both talking about it, and I would say that it's far from exceptional, but it was entertaining. So to see it crash to hot garbage actually is pretty amusing.
Well,
to me,
I mean, I'm still watching it, right? So it's not bad. It's like I still entertained by it, but like I'm never looking forward to what's going to happen next.
It's,
you know?
it's the Law of Wiki effect, right?
Yeah, except I think Law of Wiki transcends itself a bit more.
It is still pretty hot garbage, though.
Yeah, sure. It definitely, I would say it fits the category as well. But like this one is more, I don't know, they do try and craft, like if I just think of it like I'm playing a video game or I'm watching somebody play a video game, and you know, you get into the lore of the game and all that stuff, and you know, if I just think of it like that, it's kind of interesting. And it helps that it's animated generally pretty well.
Agreed. For a show of its ilk, I would say it punches a little bit above its weight class in animation quality on average. I would agree. But yeah, I would say that it's a worthy title of hot garbage for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys talked that one up when I started watching it, and like, you know what? It's like, you know, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fine. I put it on while I'm making coffee and stuff. And like, there are some parts that are pretty nicely done. They actually have a couple cool, like, insert songs. And I don't hate, like, the main character.
Yeah.
And it's also interesting. The one thing that is kind of interesting is, like, they made it a main character who does not have a mouth or a human head and still is able to, like, express stuff, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
True.
I did like that, but it's still garbage, but it's warmed up enough such that you don't hate it.
I do enjoy the premise of the guy normally being a person who just plays crappy games. He just loves playing bad games, and so like this being his first time playing an actual good game, you know, going back to old games and having fun exploiting bugs in them and stuff is I find that amusing.
Yeah. It's like going back and playing all like the weird late 90s fighting games and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, memories.
Okay. I've got a hot take here. I'm going to go with Gushing Over Magical Girls. It's up on High Dive.
Oh, wow.
It is.
Oh, it's actually a title of a show. I thought this was like a
podcast. Oh, yes. Oh, no.
I don't know this show.
No, it is a show. It is the version they have up on High Dive, I believe, is like the home video version of it, which has even more explicit stuff. Like, it is pornographic. It is just straight up, like, it gets straight up into pornographic stuff. Like, so do not.
Not an airplane
watch. Do not
watch
it. No. Oh my gosh, no. That said, it's actually the concepts and the characters and the stuff they do in it, it is actually a really cool magical girl show.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'd be like, oh man, I would totally like recommend it for people who want to watch like an interesting, cool magical girl show that has some cool twists and stuff. And then it's also
degenerate.
Yeah. And then, but the interesting part of it is it is the pornographic stuff is actually like intricate. It's integral to the storyline.
Okay.
And the character and
not
stuff.
Just in a Megazone 2-3 like sex position sort of way.
No.
Like a Golden Boy kind of way.
More kind of like that. It actually is integral to the characters and their development and stuff. So that's why I called it, it's the hottest garbage show, because you're like, oh god, you cannot, do not watch this anywhere near another human who would not be absolutely okay with that. But if you do and you're curious, like, it actually is a much better show than I was ever thinking that it would be. I still have like in one episode or two episodes left, but I'm like, ooh, I want to finish watching this show. Like, it's cool. I'm curious what they do with it. I also did not realize it was straight up pornography when I started watching it.
Yeah. There's no hint of it really that it is, that looking at the page.
Yeah, it doesn't quite look as bad as it actually is. But it's some hot garbage. So that's my nomination.
Wow, well, you got my curiosity piqued, so I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. It'll be like, huh, okay, all right. All right, with that, I'll pass it off to Nick for the final submission.
So, much like the first topic, it came down to two things. One is a more, I would say, orthodox answer, and the other one's a little bit more of a tongue-in-cheek, edgy answer. So, my orthodox answer for hottest garbage is comfortably Chain Soldier.
Oh, God.
Complete and utter garbage show.
Oh.
One episode is already too much. It was literally everything I hate seeing in anime encapsulated into a single show. So that's between that and my... And to be fair, I'll have a justification, but it was this and Bakemonogatari with the asterisk because of Crunchyroll's quality.
Oh yeah, sure.
And the watermark. The dreaded watermark. So
the dicks.
Yes. So I went on my diatribe about this on the episode. Nothing wrong with the show. The show is great. I love Shinbo's stuff. But it literally makes me physically ill to try to watch it on Crunchyroll because it looks like I'm watching a 2006 era Digisub with a watermark on it. And why am I paying for a subscription to get this dog water quality? It is inexcusable when the show clearly has a cleaner master that they can reference. So
yeah, that's so bizarre.
It actually was a tough call, but I'm actually going to go with Bakemonogatari because in the year 2025, a paid subscription service should not have quality that poor for something for a property that is actually highly regarded. Like I would say, the Monogatari series regularly comes up in many people's discussion of like anime series that I absolutely adore and put in my top 10, and it's completely inexcusable that something that highly regarded isn't that poor of a quality. So yeah, my hottest garbage is Crunchyroll Bakemonogatari.
I mean, the worst thing about that too is that, like, when we were talking about this, they had a new series that had just started, right? So, like, obviously you put out the new season of the show and the new entry in the series, people are going to want to go back and watch the first one. So you think that they would at least take that opportunity to, like, we'll bring it up to full quality or whatever, even if they're thinking like, back catalog stuff normally is lower quality. I mean, it's just, no excuse.
They have plenty of back catalog stuff. Like Golden Boy looked fine.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, Golden Boy looked great.
Old shows from like the 90s and 80s look pretty good for their age. Yeah, they looked fine. Honestly.
Like plenty of these other shows that, like Harlock and Golden Boy, are not getting tons of new people coming in to check them out. But like, yeah, I could definitely see like Bakemonogatari because I agree that one has been like, oh, people have been talking about the show for a long time and it's still cool and making new stuff. And
yeah.
Okay. So, does anyone want to give a second vote to anyone else's submission. I think
I'll certainly toss a second vote to Crunchy's Bakke quality. Because, oof, yeah, I mean, I mentioned that in my best late to the party, so.
Yeah, okay. So, the Kenzoki for hottest garbage, which is a melted together pile of chained soldier figures that have been all melted down into one big glob, that we're going to give to the DivX and code of Bakemonogatari, and we'll send it off to Crunchyroll. Let them.
The big steaming, uncomfortably warm Kenzoki.
Yeah, the uncomfortably warm. It's not quite. It's not hot. You just like this feels awkwardly awkward temperature.
And it stays that temperature forever.
Yeah. Somehow, yes. through the garbageness that is Change Soldier.
Do we have to bike way out into the country to find this major award?
No. No. Garbage is all around us.
Yeah.
All right. So back onto a more positive category. We're going to go with most anticipated. And I don't know if we could decide here. Do we care to make a distinction between podcast versus non-podcast, or just go with the
I
thing?
I was just doing non-podcast, just a thing.
I figured it's just up to the like Kenzoku, like whether or not it is should be irrelevant to them. Right? What's
like
most
that.
Anticipated?
Yeah.
All right, that works. Let's go with Sam. What's your submission?
You know, I think last year I had more choices lined up, and of course, although the choice was obvious, this one I don't know a lot of what's coming up this year. Or at least I couldn't remember anything, so I just kind of went with recency bias and said the Koike Lupin movie. I'm looking forward to that a lot. That'll be really cool.
I mean, that's a solid choice. Koike never has disappointed. So
yeah, more excuse to go watch the other Lupin OVA things that he did.
All right, that's cool. I had one, but I'm gonna go with Gundam QX.
it's G-Quax.
G-Quax.
Oh, is that what it is?
G-Quax.
Okay. Yeah, if you watch the trailer, go Gundam G-Quax. I'm like, that's how you pronounce it? Okay.
I'm gonna go with Gundam G-Quax because. It's got a lot of people whose names that I know.
Man, those trailers get me excited. Not gonna lie.
Did you get your ticket?
I have not yet. It's supposed to be coming to my local independent theater and some others, and should be here for like a week. So I'm gonna see if I can get in and find time to see it at least once, and if it's good, a couple more times.
Got my
ticket. I should
probably get mine too.
Pass it off to Nick.
Yeah, this one was, I would say, pretty easy. It still came down to a few things, but one of them was Dandadan Season 2, which I disqualify just because that's almost cheating. but then I remembered, and it's very much a me answer, but for me it's going to be Guilty Gear Strive Dual Rulers, the upcoming anime series.
I'm
Guilty Gear after 25 years of waiting for a Guilty Gear anime to come out, and it's not in the form factor that I would have imagined back when you know we just had that whatever that 6-minute animated short on that ridiculous Guilty Gear X Plus thing that you had, Sam.
Oh yeah, the PS2 thing,
the dub. Yeah. Yeah, and it was only dubbed, and it was the only thing people remember is Kai going, "I'm falling."
So, yeah, that's right, man. I had forgotten about that.
Yeah, so to now be at a point where Guilty Gear Strive is a mainstream, very popular fighting game, and the story is still continuing, and the series actually is going to tie together in between Exerd and Strive. So, like, you know, it'll dive back and revisit some old time characters, and as far as I can tell, all the VAs in the game are reprising the roles in the series, which means we get to see Norio as Johnny. So
yeah, man,
that's always gonna be good. So, and you know, the trailer looks fine. The quality, I would say, for 3D is, I think they're going the route of looking game accurate and trying to have it look really dynamic. So I'm willing to overlook it, because as far as all of these, you know, these Neo era fighting games that are 3D but still, you know, that are done 3D but are in 2D, Guilty Gear Strive to me by far looks the best, and you know, just quality and you know, replicating the 2D appearance. So
I still 200% agree with that, but like, part of that is the care they take in like distorting things to make them look 2D. So
the key is will they try to apply the same philosophies in the series? We shall see. But yeah, I mean, I live, breathe, and eat Guilty Gear, you know. So it's my one love in fighting games. So yeah, gotta go with the dual rulers.
I'm setting my expectations low for that one, so that I can be, you know, surprised when it's actually not bad.
I'm trying to, but at worst for me, the voice acting is gonna be phenomenal, because you know that the game roster is already excellent. So
yeah, true.
All right, good submission there. Mike, what do you have?
I'm gonna also second the Gundam Clicks, however you pronounce that, because with the staff on that, I am very excited to see how it looks.
You get your? Did you get a ticket, Mike, or did you find you taking your mom? Or
it looks like it's playing down in SM for at least a week. So
oh, nice.
Should be able to get to see it.
Cool.
Very nice. I think I have an honorable. I'll put an honorable mention of the Chainsaw Man Reze movie.
Oh man, I forgot that one.
Reza Ark's gonna be good. Yeah,
I might have to change mine.
I know that's an easy one to be excited about. So it's super easy to be excited about.
I forgot. Yeah. I think I'll have to switch mine. I definitely am looking forward to that more.
all right. Well, the anticipation, Kenzoki, that I think I'm just going to have to give it to Chainsaw Man Reze movie, because that one got the, oh man, the anticipation. It was right there as it was reminded that we were anticipating it. I hope it's good.
Yeah, me too. The trailer looks amazing. I hope the teaser.
I hope it feels like it's getting the good MAPPA crew. So, does anyone have any suggestion for what type of Kenzoki that one should be?
It is one that always gets one half closer to you, but never arrives.
You watch in the shipping, and it's always getting closer, but never quite actually gets delivered.
Yeah, the shipping notices.
Kenzoki is always in the mail.
Yeah.
All right, it's a good one. Okay, so now we'll take it back down, and we'll go down for biggest disappointment, and I'll go first here, and kind of contrary to what we were just saying, I'm kind of going with, I'm calling out like A1 and MAPPA. Like, these are supposed to be like top tier studios making cool stuff that's really good, that you're like, oh man, this is great. And I feel like they've been putting out some meh.
I mean, it's like no secret for MAPPA, at least, that they've been hemorrhaging talent for the last 5 years now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they've been killing and overworking everyone and everything else there. But, like, I haven't seen a show from either of them in a while where I'm like, oh my god, this is super cool. Great job. Like, I don't know, maybe, probably Chainsaw Man, but that one is still, it's not like it's an original thing, and, like, their adaptations, like, Solo Leveling is meh. Leveling Buchigiri was like, it was okay
quality and wise Zenshu, it was good. I mean, like animation
I guess, yeah, but I take everything like in there, I take it all as like the whole thing. Like, you gotta choose. So that's why I feel like it's a disappointment. It's not like their stuff is terrible, but I'm disappointed. I feel like it should be better.
I mean, in Shame their defense, like, I think A1 got started with Sword Art Online, right? So, like,
yep,
they're no strangers to, like, doing very high-quality, mediocre shows.
It is, that is true.
That's their call sign, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they've done some other stuff that actually has been pretty good.
Lico Rico has a special place in my heart.
Yeah.
Oh, man. More, please. Jeez.
Yeah.
So, that's my disappointment. You guys should do better.
Mm. Yeah, it's a fair one.
All right,
totally reasonable.
Pass it on to Nick.
Yeah, this one was my easiest one to fill in for the categories. No fanfare here. Very comfortably biggest disappointment is Uzumaki TV. Not even close for me.
Good one.
After the buildup, the years of buildup, and the trailers, and the just everything surrounding it, and our prep for it by, you know, actually, reading a bunch of Junji Ito stuff and all those, being like, yeah, it's pretty amazing, can't wait. And of course, we all had our concerns with, oh, it's all CGI bull. And then, one, it's 4 episodes. 2, the only high quality episode is EP1, which to its credit was very high quality, but it's all out the window because 3, they completely jumbled up the story. Like, what are they thinking? What were they thinking? Like, it's not hard to just follow the formula of, well, here's the story that Junji Ito told. Let's try to adapt it. Like, why did they have to be all like, oh, we're going to cut it up and tell it in a weird order? Like, no. It frustrates me because we talked about it in the episode. Junji Ito's stuff has never been adapted well, and they've tried so many different times, live action, animated, and otherwise, and this is just the, in my opinion, biggest and worst, and, like, worst example of it all. Just, it's so, yeah, if this is, like, how people, what upsets me most is this is how people interpret Uzumaki to be, because it's all they know about it. They didn't read that. Be like, I would be like, oh, I don't want to read it anymore. This was terrible. And that's like, no. It's freaking amazing. But the show absolutely, like, just screwed the pooch on it. So yeah, shame on you, Uzumaki TV. You shouldn't exist.
Sad. So sad.
Mic drop.
Yeah, it's a strong accusation. Mike?
Oh, I don't have any particularly strong disappointments, so I'm going to have to second Uzumaki, because, yeah, that was some hot garbage.
Yeah. Sam?
since I fortunately did not watch the Uzumaki anime, I was spared that disappointment. Although I suppose I got it vicariously through you guys. for me, it will be this mediocre show, Tonari no Yokai-san. I ranted about before, I believe, that a show that was already kind of meh, and then it just got really unbearable as it went on. Like, it was, thought it would just be a kind of a cutesy feel-good series, but it was a cutesy depress you series that basically went nowhere, except to try and make you cry. So no, I rarely quit shows in the middle that we watch, like, regularly, and that was one I was like, I just don't want to watch this anymore. It's just I don't like feeling sad. I don't, not, at least not for, you know, on a weekly basis.
Like, I've got enough of that in 2025. I don't need a bonus sadness for no reason. Not even for a reason. Like, there's plenty of sad shows. You could be like, now and then, here and there. Like, any of those ones, you're like, oh, it's a sad show, or Made in Abyss. Like
done well, right? Like, you can do those things well, but this was just felt like trying to be mean just for the sake of it. I did not like that.
Okay. And, all right, vote changing. I think I had honestly been so traumatized by Uzumaki TV that I was blacked out. So I'm definitely changing my vote to Uzumaki TV, because
it deserves it.
Yep.
it should not have been released. And the award from this is a crappy CG pan fall that never ends, just like we got in episode 3 of Uzumaki. Oh god, it was so bad. Or was that 4? There was like the really bad pan fall. But it's just it's the pan fall that never ends. Wow. And that goes to Uzumaki TV. Shame on you. Shame on you.
Producers at Cartoon Network or whatever saw these as they were in progress and thought, yes, this is good. Continue. Like,
I don't know. People at Cartoon Network, I'm not necessarily surprised by. I was more disappointed just that it had so much time put into it, and the final product was just so bad. Like, unforgivably bad.
So here's a random theory. I don't know. Is that they knew it was bad, and that's why it's only 4 episodes, is that it got cut short.
I would totally believe that.
Plausible. Very plausible.
There's definitely, whatever it is, there's a story behind this that I would love to know. Somebody should try and do some digging and write an article.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody gets paid to do this.
Yeah. Who has connections to actual people who worked on it? Somebody knows.
Yeah. Someone's going to spill on this and be like, all right. Yeah. Okay. Whew. All right. Let's go a little more positive here. So let's go to our favorite podcast episode from the last season of the last Kensoki season. We will start with Nick.
This one was a little challenging too. There actually this past season was really, really strong. A lot of really, really good episodes, I think. But ultimately have to come back to an old reliable, and you know, kinda it's like just like that old reliable comfy sweater that we all have that you may have forgotten you owned, and then you put it back on 10 years later and it still feels perfect. And for me, that episode was Pat Labor Movie 2. Specifically, it was a really good episode. We really dove super deep into the movie, you know, at like a very, very granular level, because this was one of the rare ones where all 4 of us held it in such high regard and you know, just loved the property so much that we really were like super, I would say, deep in where we were critical about it, because again, we're all so passionate about Pat Labor, right? So I think that was like one of the best episodes we've ever done, in my opinion, actually. So yeah, super, super proud of that ep. And yeah, I mean, how can you not like anything Pat Labor?
Yeah, that was a good one.
All right, good submission. Mike, what is yours?
Less an objective favorite and more a subjective one. I forget which of the Nick in Japan episodes it was, but the one about his visit to the Ghibli theme park was really interesting for me as someone who would like to go sometime, but you gave a pretty good feel of what it's actually like and the both good and bad aspects of it. Yeah. So thanks for that, Nick. I really enjoyed that one.
Oh, well, glad. Yeah. I mean, my intent isn't to drive people away from it, but more to give, I would say, realistic expectations about what it actually is. Like, I would definitely, you know, have, like, knowing, even if I knew what the end result, I still would have chosen to go, because it's one of those places you're probably only going to get to go to, you know, at most a handful of times, just because its ticket availability is so scarce. So I'm definitely glad I still went. I just, it was just a different experience from what I was expecting. But overall, you know, I was still a really, really cool place to see. So,
all right, it's a good one. Sam, what's yours?
Mine was the Nasubi episode.
That's a good one.
Yes, similar to the to Pat Labor, like I have, although not as strong of feelings about it overall, like I have lots of fond memories of us watching it and passing that tape around in college, or tapes, and then just that became lore that we carried with us forever, and then to kind of have a chance to revisit it and with all this new information, I really enjoyed that. That was kind of fun. It was a lot of fun. And then we even went way deeper to where, at some point we'll have more content about this in a future episode, at least part of an episode. It still fascinates me, even now.
That's a good one. I've been going back and forth over a bunch of them, and I think I'm going to go with the Nasubitas episode as well. I think it came out well. It was an interesting topic for us to go over and discuss and have our perspective on stuff at the time, and then taking into account the new documentary and our differing perspectives on it 20 years on, and how we feel differently about things from them versus now, and just a thing they got into. So I'm also gonna be a Nasubitas.
That Pat Labor one is a good runner up. I mean, that was a really good episode for all those same reasons that Nick said. I really enjoyed that. But it's sad there aren't. Well, we will go back to Pat Labor because there is more. But
there's more to cover. Yeah.
The remaining movies are not as good. The shows are longer.
OVAs though.
The OVAs. There's the OVAs
are good.
Yeah. That's true. The OVAs are very good.
And at some point, we have to cover Mini Pato just for the silliness.
Which I will say at this point, I still have not seen.
Oh, man. So, yeah, that's great. That's awesome.
So
I haven't seen that one in a while. You could watch my imported PlayStation Portable UMD copy that I have.
Oh boy.
Wow.
Do you have a functioning PSP that can still play it?
Yeah.
The battery hasn't completely bloated into a balloon and exploded inside?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Better check on it.
Now I'm confirmed. Now I'm concerned. How else am I gonna watch Hoshinokoe? It's another one I have the UMD for.
Wow.
Oh, yep. Yeah, I got some weird stuff, man.
Rare artifact, man. Rare artifact.
Yeah, jeez.
All right, so all those episodes are winners. Every episode that's not terrible is a winner. Our episodes, they're pretty good. At least they're usually to the time limit we give them.
This Kenzoki can be Nasubi piloting an Ingram across Ghibli Park, and I think that covers the
I like that
the topic perfectly.
Nasubi riding an Ingram across Ghibli Park, perfect. I love it, love it. All right, next topic is our favorite AMO. We're calling it, so it could be whatever anime, manga, or otaku-related subject that we find interesting.
You said it. You said it.
Is there an echo here? Is there an echo?
So first up here, I'll send it off to Mike.
Now, this is where I was going to put Pad Labor 2, because it is definitely probably my favorite thing that we watched this year for this, even if I gave the podcast episode to a different one. But it's tough because there are some real close runner-ups in Tokyo Godfathers and Shin Godzilla. So it is a tough decision between those three, but I think I'll give Pat Labor 2 just the slight edge.
All deserving.
Mm. Okay, yep. All right, Sam, what you got?
I'm probably going to remember something later, but I think for me, Look Back, again, recency bias, but Look Back was really phenomenal. I really enjoyed that. I didn't expect it. And so, as with a lot of these anime things that I find out about, like the what was the Kimi no Iro, the one that I just watched?
I didn't get a chance to see that. I was bummed.
Yeah, I find out about these things like, weeks before they come out, and then I just go, you know, I'm just going to see that. And then the look back was similar to that, like, oh, at the end of this month? Okay, yeah, sure. And yeah, it was awesome. And we all were able to go see it. And then once it came out on Amazon, and yeah, that was great. It was a really good surprise, really good content, a really good animation, super good.
All right. Now it's to me, and I've debated between two things, and oof. All right, I'm going to go with Junji Ito manga.
Mm.
His stuff is
very deserving as well.
Yeah. I've read so much of it last year, and then I got into reading a bunch of Kazuo Umez stuff, which is really cool and interesting. Oh. The Wandering Classroom, and I'm reading Orochi, what was the other one I read? But I gotta go with that. My other one that I was considering as, it's so hard. Like, these are all, no one has put out a bad answer. The other one that I was thinking was, my kind of honorable mention that was close, was Nia Under 7, because I just, I love that series. I love it.
It's one of the best shows about nothing.
Yeah.
It's the Seinfeld of anime, of poor domestic animation.
If it only was more easily available.
Yeah, domestic. Sorry, domestic, correction. Domestic poor animation. You gotta fit the order right. But I'm going to go with Junji Ito manga as my favorite M.
That's a good one.
It's a hard choice there. All right, I'll pass it off to Nick now.
Oh, I fear I have the most normie answer, but I'm going to, I guess, add a bit more of a flavor to it. So my answer is Dandadan.
That's a good one.
Man, show is
surprise.
Something special. For me, specifically EP7, Akrosilky, I don't know if everybody's gone that far. I won't go into the plot, but I will say, everything I've watched this year for podcasts and off podcasts, out of everything, it was by far my favorite thing all year was EP7 of Dandadan. I literally cried during it. It was it's a masterpiece of an episode. So yeah, can't wait for season 2. Again, I said it, I think when we're talking about the season, but like, this is one of those rare, I would say, you know, perfect storms of the perfect studio got the property. Like, Science Saru did it so well. Their style matches up so well for it. And you can tell everybody working on it really loves it and is super passionate, because it looks, in this modern day of all this digital, you know, everything, it looks just like pure, clean, hand-drawn, passionate anime. And that's like everything, you know, I want to see. So, yeah. Favorite AMO this year is Dandadan EP7.
It's a good choice.
I will out myself and say I have only watched through episode 5.
Oh, jeez,
you're almost
more
there.
More than I have watched, but I really need to pick that one up.
Yeah, you're missing out. It just keeps getting better.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's real good. Okay, so the winner for that is every single thing there, because everything that everyone mentioned is excellent.
No losers here, only winners.
No.
Yeah.
And the Kenzoki is a shining golden lucky cat. Okay. It's a shiny golden lucky cat. That has a weird, like, creepy swirl on the back of it, I think.
And here I was thinking the Times Person of the Year issue for 2006.
Who was that?
That was the one they gave it out to you.
Oh.
Oh, God. Oh, what a cop-out. What a terrible... Who was the editor in charge of that garbage? All right. Okay, so any of those things, you win. I actually had as a third honorable mention Science Sorrow as my list of favorite AMO.
That is a good one too. Those guys have been really knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, they're doing good work. Good work. Good work, Science Arrow. Good job putting efforts into things.
Which, again, like, for having lost their, basically their studio head, they've been carrying on quite well.
Yeah.
I think a sign that, like, they just built it from the ground up really well. They picked the right people from the beginning.
So. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Okay, so now we're going to go into the best ending category. So, this is for stuff that came out this year. What endings feel good by whatever classification that that we want to give. So, I think last time there. So we'll start with Sam.
I just want to list out my best ending, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or endings. If you have a couple, that's fine.
I have a couple that I just want to mention as were kind of my runners up, but didn't quite make the cut. Then Kaiju number 8's ending, I thought was great.
Very good.
Good song, good, cute little animation to go with it that was very unique. I think we called that out at the time when we talked about it. Bravern is so goofy. the shirtless singing was fantastic. Konosuba ending 3 was really great with its like little story going on there in it. It's just also extremely good. And the Isekai Suicide Squad Go-Getters was also really catchy. I still want to check out that show, but it's on streaming services I don't have, and so I don't care that much. But my winner was the sleeper hit, sleeper contender was Beyblade X Cosmic Treat by Perfume. Was that ending is awesome. It's super great from a show that I don't care about at all, and didn't watch and never watch. But it's just so catchy visually and musically. I love Perfume. So those two things were just made it a winner.
I watched that one. It was a cool ending. It's, you're like, huh, this is better done than should have been done for a show that's titled Beyblade X.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I felt.
Okay. Yeah, those are solid. Solid. All right. I'm supposed to give a few here. I'm gonna have to give a similar rundown of probably some honorable mentions. Brave Bang Bravern. It's it's fab. The ending is ridiculous. Yes. It's kind of a weird thing in that it's not the same one for each episode, but I'm gonna give an honorable mention to Snack Basue, which is another complete hottest garbage show.
Oh yeah, how did that one not come up yet?
Yeah, I don't know how that one didn't come up yet.
It was pretty early in the year, so
that's
true. But it was cool because they have like all these like live action filmed versions of, and then the characters in the show are singing karaoke for these 70s and 80s songs, and like it's so cool. Like it's just like Eric, oh, this is like a cool song, and they're singing it, and like I think they recorded new like live action like music video stuff for the song. So I gotta give that one an honorable mention, because it was pretty good. And I think my third honorable mention I'm going to give to Shoshimin, which was a cool one. Ooh, in that it did a thing that I've seen, I feel like a little bit more of, where it did a mixing between live photography and animation stuff there. It was very nicely mixed together where it wasn't glaring at all. And it also kind of made sense because the show is so placed in Gifu City, so having the like the live action camera stuff there from different places kind of helped. It didn't feel out of place, so it was well done there. What's my winner? Oh, gosh. I think just because it might be recency of having done stuff and seeing that it was cool and I really like the song and the style and everything worked well, I'm going to go with Delicious in Dungeon End 2. It's in the same style as the first one, which is the kind of off, kind of nicely drawn picture stuff. But I really like Regal Lily, the artist. I found them from their ending for this, and it's just one of those things where I just think it was just executed really nicely, ties in with everything. Catchy song, and it turned me on to a new artist, so that's why I give it the best. I think it was really good.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good one.
So hard. Okay, all right, let's go to Nick.
All right, so much like Sam, have some overlap with him, so yeah, Kaiju number 8 ending, very cool. Not quite favorite of the year, I would say worthy, so you know, but still really good one. The other next I picked, I could, even though I like it a lot, I just couldn't in right conscience pick it as my favorite Ed, because it still is surpassed by season one's, which is the Oshinoko season 2 ending.
Oh yeah, I had that in my list, but it didn't quite make it. Yeah,
it was one of those, because I didn't originally like it, and then it really grew on me. I got very attached to the animation for it. Just something about the way it was shot was like really spoke to me. Really good, but can't say it's in my ending of the year. Next, which was actually a super close contender, like it was actually a pretty tough call, but this one just slid into number 2 for me, was actually the ending for Elusive Samurai Kamakura Style. Really freaking cool ending. It's like this music video style, and like you have these classic Heian era Japanese historical figures, like in, you know, basically like acting in like modern era, so like they're like a DJ and stuff, and it's just a cool song. Really, really good animation, like everything I want in a good ending. But ultimately my ending of the year, to probably nobody's surprise, ended up being Dan Dan Dan. Tai Dada is such a good song. I am a massive Zutto Mayo like obsessive fan. Like I love good music, man. And the fact that it's focusing around Neko Turbo Granny is just like so perfect, because it's like one of my favorite characters, and yeah, just perfect animation that matches up with it, and yeah, so stellar ending for a stellar show.
You know, the thing that I like about, well, I mean, one of the good thing, cool things about Zutto Mayo is the their videos that they put out on YouTube. They're always like, usually they're very often animated, but sometimes they're like, maybe they're always animated. I don't know. I saw they did a Cup Noodle like crossover thing, which I thought was really cool too.
I don't know if anybody's seen, but they actually have a full music video for Tai Dada, and that's actually was, I think, animated by Science Saru, because it literally just has an extended cut with like more cuts of Turbo Granny and Neko form with other stuff. So it's a cool music video. Highly recommend. But yeah, goes to Dan Dan Dan. Those should be a surprise to nobody.
But another good choice.
All right. Mike.
Well, I didn't end up seeing as many as y'all, but of the ones that I did see, I was thinking between the Bravern and the Freyren, but ended up going with Shoshimin. I think, thinking about my leaning on openings too, that this year, maybe because things are feeling kind of unstable, I'm leaning toward the familiar in my opening and ending tastes, and the Shoshimin one kind of reminds me of a Gainax Ed in a way that I haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, I can see that.
Nothing wrong with falling back on familiarity.
Yeah.
They call it a comfort zone for a reason, so.
Like some of the camera shots in there definitely felt kind of Love and Poppy.
I can see that. It's a good ending.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah. All right. So the Kenzoki for best ending goes to all of those, and it's some very refined, well-drawn cheeks. good shading, like nice form and everything. So now we get to the hardest category, probably for some of us. Others maybe not as much, I don't know. But best opening. And maybe, I don't know. We'll see here. I think I'm up first. So some honorable mentions. Ranma 1/2. I really like the opening that they did for it.
Yeah, I actually really, really don't like it.
Really? Huh.
I love the show, don't get me wrong. Huh. But I think for me it's biased because like Ranma openings for me are like on this almost untouchable like pedestal because the originals were set so high. And so I think for the remake, it was probably impossible for it to hold up. That's definitely my own personal bias, but I can totally see why. It's the animation of it is very cool, and I actually love that. I mean, I guess spoiler for a 40-year-old property, but I love that once the point where Akana's hair gets cut off, you actually see that like adapted to in the opening animation as well. So yeah.
Oh, I'd forgotten that completely. Of course, I forgot a lot about Ranma from back then.
Yeah, so that, and I think it's got to be an honorable mention is Free Run Opening 2, because that was within the Kentucky season.
It did sneak in.
Yep. Yeah, second half was in within the Kentucky season, yep. And
core,
somehow
Core 1 was before, but yeah, Core 2 was very good.
Somehow a Urushika song that was like huge hit song and everything, somehow that's not the winner, which is like, I don't even know how that happens in my life, but that happens because it's gotta go to Don 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 opening. It's so freaking good.
It's an obsession for a lot of people, so yeah.
It's the song is incredible. It's what's the song name? My brain Otonoke. Is failing. Otonoke, that's right. Yes. The animation is so cool. Like, and it, like they have like the dance segments in there that people want to try and like do. But you look at it, it's not like the whole thing. It's like 3 seconds, but it's so impactful. And it's a fabulous opening that belongs in the pantheon of brilliant, cool, innovative openings in anime world, and that's where I put it very, very highly there. And I'll pass it off to Nick, who's gonna have a very different opinion, I'm sure.
So openings was this year was challenging. A lot of bangers this year. Just starting off with a heavy hitter in Bling Bang Bang Born, like with Mashal
song, so good.
And the most insane part for me is that the main rhythm is a squeaky bed spring and it works so well. It's such a Creepy Nuts, right? Just absolute geniuses of their craft. And the animation as well, right? It was a phenomenon when this was airing. Like, everybody was dancing to this. People were making English covers of it because, you know, it's very hip-hoppy. And, you know, it was just this phenomenon.
I counted it up. Bling Bang Blank Blorn has over 500 million.
Yeah, it's a
like,
global
YouTube
sensation.
Views.
Yeah, it's a global sensation of a song. So, incredibly strong contender. But for me personally, just not there. Other honorable mentions, I think that maybe slipped by. As much as I would say the show was pretty lacking. Metallic Rouge's opening, I actually kind of have a soft spot for.
Yep.
You know, Child of the 80s feels very 80s. You know, pop punky and just, you know, very easy to listen to. To no one's surprise, Oshinoko Season 2 opening, stellar. Mm-hmm. But again, just, it's so hard for me to say, to have back-to-back years where, like, my favorite opening is Oshinoko, and Idol is still such a huge hurdle to climb over.
Yeah.
I would say Fatal just falls short, but it is a phenomenal opening, animated supremely well.
Yeah.
This should be strong entry. Another shockingly strong entry, as far as the I can't get it out of my head when it plays, is Shikanoko Noko Noko Koshitantan opening.
Yeah.
Literally the only redeeming thing about that show is the opening.
Yeah.
I don't even want to call it a good song. It's just incredibly catchy. So, but again, you know, more of a, it's addictive in like a bad drug way than like a good food way. So that's why I can't, in good conscience, call it number one. And so, you know, in a long roundabout way, this is basically me saying that Otonoke is my opening of the year, to no one's surprise. So for the second year running, a show has taken the trifecta of best show, best ending, best opening, and Don Da Don. Everything Dylan said, I hearken back. Like, the opening 8 seconds of this, it's literally so the best, like, 8 seconds of animation this year. Like, holy moly. It just checks all those boxes. It hits all those dopamine dumps on me. And the song is just an absolute banger. And just like with Bling Bong Bong Born, one of the main kind of looping noises, as far as I can tell, I think it's a sampling from Pikmin. Like that trumpet sound, I swear it must be from Pikmin, because it sure sounds like a Pikmin. But either way, fantastic song.
Awesome.
Easily, you know, one of the hottest songs still right now, and obviously recency bias, you know, compared to Bling Bong Bong Born. But yeah, it's Otonoke for me.
All right, Mike, you're up.
Well, just to continue to be different, I was definitely Don Da Don curious, but ultimately, for whatever reason, and also Metallic Rouge, because yes, the 80s were, this of it felt very familiar, but somehow that was just edged out for me by really being in the mood for a hot-blooded, booming mecha opening, so I'm going to give it to Brave Bang Braver.
Awesome. Yes. That opening is fabulous, too. It's so good.
It is.
Bum, 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 bum. Brave Bang. See, I know that part, and I haven't watched this show since, like, April.
Yeah. It's very catchy. They nailed
it's
it.
It's so good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
That show. They understood the assignment, as they say.
Okay, sorry to cut you off there. Anything else that you want to submit as for any honorable mentions or anything else?
No, I think that's it for the category for me.
All right, that's an excellent choice. That show is really just very good. It was a very good show. Very pleased they made it and I watched it. All right, Sam, you're up.
My honorable mentions, obviously Oshinoko S2, that was, you know, let's just repeat everything that was already been said. That's excellent. Mashal, Bling Bang Bang Born, also fabulous. One that nobody else has mentioned yet that I really enjoyed, even though I didn't watch the show, was the Sentai Daishikaku.
One opening. was low-key pretty amazing. Yeah.
That's the Go-Go Loser Ranger.
Yeah. That opening was just so like, wow, this is really like, really cool. The song is cool. The animation is cool. Like,
yeah, it almost like it didn't have any right to be like that cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's one that I still kind of want to watch the show a little bit to check it out, and that made me want to.
Cutting in there, I finally did start to watch, and I think I watched one or two eps, and it's pretty good. It's cool, and it's well-produced and everything. I think the most annoying thing is it's on Hulu, and for whatever reason, like,
no.
the subtitles are like a closed caption subtitle type thing. It's not like regular subtitles. Yeah. You get like all the weird, like, this person says this. It's playing.
Oh,
it's playing
no,
cool music.
Yeah, sirens in the background.
Yeah. I was like, what? Have you guys never actually, like, watched an anime subtitled? What are you doing?
That's so sad.
But the show itself is cool.
Okay. Well, so, it's Hulu, so I probably won't watch it.
Yeah. Anyways, back to your selections.
Well, my best one is also the same as everybody else, is a Don to Don. At least the same as Nick and Dylan is Don to Don, that Don to Don opening. What is it? Otonoke?
Otonoke, yeah.
Yeah, it's just repeating everything everybody else has said. It's just fantastic, amazing. Animation's good. The song is mega catchy. Just perfect. Perfect opening. I don't know. No notes. But Creepy Nuts, man, again, coming up strong.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they had two contenders in one year, and we can, all of us can even be the hipster and say, we know, we were interested in them before they got hot, right? Because I feel like Bing Bong Bong Born is when like, they got international kind of recognition, but, like, we were, you know, with Call of the Night, we were already all infatuated with them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We're the hipsters. We already picked them for, like, I think I picked them for my favorite opening of the year, like, two years ago when...
With Call of the Night.
You have Call of the Night, yeah.
Yeah, I think you picked them for opening and I picked them for ending, so.
Yeah.
Those guys are so good. They new album.
They're touring everywhere right now. They are all over the place right now.
Oh, man, so. I didn't even think about that.
You gotta see. And you know what I do like from the we've got a 3-in-1 with Otonoke, but you know, you could take the name of the show and you could say it to the theme song of Braveheart, because you could be like dun 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 dun, dun Braveheart. It's like a crossover in itself.
Wow,
it's meant to be.
So the golden. The golden shaft goes to Otonoke and goes to Creepy Nuts. We should probably actually make something and send it to him. Just tell him that they're awesome. That's what we should do. We should 3D print out an actual Kenzoki and send it to them and tell them that they won. They'll be thrilled. Excellent openings. All the other honorable mentions are also great too. All right, so we've gotten through all of our main topics. Now we're into kind of some we call the bikuri, or surprise topics. And we have some here. People might have some new, and no one's required to have any sort of entry for any of these. I'm going to go and start it off with a favorite meme. And I'm just going to go straight up Eva X MacDo.
Yeah.
It's so good. The Evangelion McDonald's cross promotion. The commercials are so incredibly well done. Like, Kaji's having a discussion with the government spy, talking about the burger and how good it is, and if you can get one. And then they made the toys, and I haven't got them yet, but I've seen them on eBay for like $100.
Oh my god!
Very, very tempted. So that's my favorite meme. It's too much fun, and it was way too well produced. Clearly a bunch of dorks got really excited to do this crossover, and they did it to the full extent. Anta Baga?
yeah.
it's okay.
So good.
All right, I'll pass it to Nick. if you have, and if no one's required to have anything here.
Yeah, I didn't have anything specific, but you did trigger something in me that I would say, I would just say the resurgence or continuation of Eva cross-collaboration, co-marketing, whatever you want to call it, you know, the great merchanting of and continued merchanting of Eva. I mean,
milking
I bought
the cash cow.
I bought the Govi LED lights I still haven't put up in the, and Dylan had purchased after and installed his since. But yeah, I mean, let's be real. We're eternal slaves to the great Eva merchant marines. So
the Eva merchant marine fleet.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. Any memes that are that you're feeling the vibes for?
Nah, my meme game has been off this year.
Seems reasonable. Sam, any memes feeling?
I couldn't think of any. I'll throw my support in for the Eva one because that just like came out of nowhere and just like. Perfection, really. Like
it's commercial art. It really is.
Yeah,
it's
it really
like,
is.
It's
yeah. I can't think of anything that would top that.
Really good.
It's so needless and so glorious at the same time.
Yes.
All right. I can keep guiding this. If someone has a new thing, please speak up, and I'll be happy to
I've
go in here.
I've got an arbitrary, silly. Favorite AMO involving garbage as a major plot point.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
Since we've been specific. Talking about garbage, let's see. Some that I can think of that come to mind would be the first Ghost in the Shell, where they end up following a garbage truck for a lot of the movie.
Okay.
Oh, I got one. I got this one. Actually, I got almost an instantaneously answer. For me, easily, Nia under 7. She literally builds everything out of garbage all the time.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, it's that's an excellent choice.
It's a show about garbage, almost. Garbage. But it's not a garbage show. That's the beauty of it.
Also in the show about garbage but not a garbage show category, I'd like to put Planetess.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That one, I haven't seen that show in a long time. I think of anything. I can't top Nia under 7. She is literally just like a garbage hunter, and she gets poisoned by going into the super garbage zone because she knows that's where the good garbage is. Okay. All right.
Well, I have one.
Go.
I have Best Late to the Party Game Edition.
Oh.
And it goes to a few Final Fantasies, actually. First being FF14, because... Pretty easy, pretty late to the party for a 10-year-old MMO.
Yeah.
You know, didn't have a super long stint with it, but it was what I needed for the period of time that I kind of was going through. What's the best way to put it? AA for Destiny. So, just needed something to you know wean myself off of. And big ups and big thanks to Dylan for being my Sherpa. And it's showing me the ways. It's I'll definitely make my way back to Eorzea at some point. But ironically, right now, there's no need because I am about 8 hours into FF7 Rebirth. And that's probably going to own my life for the next 50, 60 hours.
Oh, jeez.
Well, wow. What a game. It's visually just... I couldn't have fathomed a video game to look just this... good and feel this good to play when I was heck even like 15 years old. So what a great time to be to see like video game technology just continue to grow and be innovated on. So yeah, Final Fantasy in general was nice to come back to for me.
I had actually kind of thought about that, and I'm still late on this. It's not that late, I guess, but I feel late is Animal Well. Like I still haven't played it, and I think I have a copy of it that I got in one of my subscription things or something, and it's supposed to be really good, and it sounds cool, and I just keep playing Final Fantasy XIV and
oh man,
and Rebirth.
Have I not ranted to you guys about Animal Well yet?
Oh, you did.
I think you did.
You definitely said your piece about it.
Okay, I won't.
It sounds like you basically hate played it, but after a certain point. So
no, I'll just say this much: I think it is the definition of overrated. I keep thinking about this a lot, and yeah, I'll say that.
Okay,
I can go into more specifics as to what I literally mean by that, but. Yeah, it's another time. Not a bad game. I'll say that up front. Not a bad game.
All right. Late to the party game editions. Mike, Sam, any?
Well, I'm very late to the party on this, but now that I have finally kicked my old 1070 out the door, I'm picking up Cyberpunk 2077 again.
Hey.
I haven't gotten very far, but I'm looking forward to being able to play it at settings that are slightly less terrible.
What settings are you playing it at, or are you still fiddling around with it?
I'm still fiddling around with it, but I've got it at about in the 60 to 70 range with mostly Ultra and some ray tracing and some XESS. So, it's but it works.
Is XESS like Intel's version of DLSS, or is it something else completely different?
Yeah, and unfortunately Cyberpunk doesn't support the newest version of it that my card does that supports multiple frame generation yet.
They updated to multiple frame gen, much like NVIDIA.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if they had frame gen support before at all, because the version in Cyberpunk doesn't. It only seems to have SSR frame gen, which has its own weirdness, so I'm kind of just deciding to skip that for now.
Yeah, I'm not AI frame gen fan myself.
Yeah.
So
maybe in a year or two, like, Cyberpunk will get patched again and support the new version, because that seems to be about how they're running on such things.
All right, I've got a worst new trend, and it's kind of an interest. I'm going to go with... I've got two different ones. I've got one which is, I'm calling it Chinese animation exports. And looking at like my anime list and other stuff, I see more of these things there, and it just, I don't know. It strikes me in a weird way for some reason, and I don't know if I'm being, I don't know, country-ish or culturalist or whatever, but I was like, I just feel like at some point they're just going to start keep cranking out so many things, and one of them's going to become a big hit, and then it's going to just subsume, like, everything, and I don't know. I'm very sus on it.
You know what? I will say I don't know if I have the same opinion, but my opinion is maybe a little more. I don't fear the Chinese anime. I welcome it, if for no other reason. One, just because, you know, whatever, make more stuff. But I feel like Japan has been getting kind of lazy lately, and you know what?
Lately.
Yeah. Well, yeah. endless. There's always been garbage, but like it's just so uninspiring garbage. And if it takes like China to show them that, like, hey guys, you don't have to make another isekai show, like you can do different things, like, hey, you know what, bring on the competition. Because I mean false memory I've heard of sounds interesting. I've watched some of the Chinese stuff over the years, dipped in, and I've just not been impressed at all. So I don't stick with it. But
yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that they're outputting a ton of stuff right now. Like, I would say they're still vastly overshadowed by like Korea, South Korea, and like outputting compared to Japan. But tying into what Dylan said, it's not a new trend, but I would say just worst resurrected trend for me is titles that are freaking sentences, which is just a cynical of saying, like, please stop with these just garbage pile, like, isekai trash short story, you know, like, attention grab shows. Like, we're back to, like, circa 2010 with the volume of shows like that. Fortunately, there's plenty of other good stuff, and I would say, you know, still stuff that pushes the medium in the right direction, a la Down the Don. That is out there that, in my opinion, you know, keeps everything afloat. But yeah, God, these just garbage shows that are just asinine titles. Like, give me a break. If it takes a wake-up call of, you know, competition from other countries to, like, make Japan, like, get more creative again, I'm with you, Sam. I'm all for it. But yeah, I think I get where Dylan's coming from.
Yeah.
Though, as far as just... we can be, I mean, let's be, you know, fully frank, like, anime practices in Japan are antiquated and unsustainable.
Well, let's not pretend like any other country is doing a better job.
Yeah, and yes, and I'm not trying to say that any other country is doing it differently or even more or less scrupulously, but I am all for some kind of sustainable change in anime as a whole to, like, keep high quality stuff that doesn't require us to make human sacrifices.
Yeah, yeah.
This ties into, I think, you know, I want to keep it on point, like, topic with Kenzoki, but it ties back into what Dylan was saying about MAPPA. I think, you know, MAPPA ground all of their talent into dust. Like, the expectations were just so high to put out absurdly high quality stuff at such unsustainable, you know, delivery timelines that they just shoved all their top talent out for, you know, even if that wasn't their intention, it's just what happened. So, you know, it's kind of a larger, I would say, longer running topic, maybe a good topic to discuss for a future episode, but just general practices in animation, I think, need to really be evaluated or overhauled to, like, keep anime sustainable. That's my take.
Yeah.
Can't disagree with that. That's a fair point that you make, Sam, with the tiny stuff. I think in my head, I think I kind of worry about it, like, that we're going to get, like, Amazon Basics animation that's just going to come in and take over, and then it'll just cut everything out, and then we'll be expecting that, oh, the best show of the season is... So I was reincarnated as a fruit fly. Now I'm a level 99 best warrior in the planet. And that's like, oh man, this show is awesome. And we're like, oh God, it's so
bad. I will say that Japan will always have the big titty market. Like, that. No, I don't think China's allowed to make those shows. So
that is true. There are different rules there. There is
It's, you know, it's interesting because it's not necessarily they can't make it, but it's about if they can distribute it internally, because example would be look, I don't know if anybody's played Marvel Rivals, the latest hero shooter super craze game, but it is made by NetEase, which is a Chinese company, developed by them, not just published. And if you look at some of the costume, like, you, anybody who's seen Marvel comics knows that a lot of the female characters are you know, they're built unrealistically, let's just say, with also completely outrageous costumes. And let's just say that there's, to no one's surprise, some of those outrageous costumes are paywalled, and they are spectacularly well done, and they are available to purchase, I don't know, in China, but they are available to purchase everywhere else in the world, but the game is still being made in China. So I think it's more about they can make it, but it's how it's distributed and where it's distributed. So I think they're allowed to make lewd content, but only for external consumption to generate revenue.
Sure.
Oh, man. That's wild. So 2025. Okay. Well, this ended up being a slightly interesting little...
I mean, to what extent is that different than sending the uncensored hentai masters overseas?
That's a fair point.
Yeah, I would say that's very analogous. Yeah.
Yeah, completely fair point there too.
I guess somewhat the Marvel Rivals is in that vein, but I think if they're making anime, it's hard to paper over that kind of stuff.
I would say certain subject matter would probably be restricted for sure. for absolute sure. But yeah, no, I understand the kind of concern there. But yeah, I doubt it'll happen because anime fans are, if nothing, ask for the world. Like, they want the top, highest quality animation done as fast as possible and coming at a frenetic pace. And anything less is, you know, unacceptable. Like, I feel like anime fans are, like, probably the most impossible to satisfy fan base because expectations are impossibly high.
Yeah. I have a real small category here. I just wanted biggest surprise. And there's just two series that kind of exceeded that I didn't know about, but then exceeded my expectations a lot. The first was the Shoshimin series, How to Be Ordinary. That one was so excellent. I had no idea what it was until I watched it. Super good.
Yeah, I'm still watching that show. It's very good. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched more than, but it looks fantastic.
It's great. Very low stakes, very entertaining. The other one, which I just finished, was the Negative Positive Angler, which is ostensibly a fishing show, which is really surprising and very well animated. So I don't know what else to say about that.
Yeah, I did hear good things about that one.
Yeah.
I can't help but think about the Masaru-san clip where I think it's like the register changes from like negative to positive to negative to positive and then starts saying Tasukete.
It all comes back to Masaru.
It has to.
Biggest surprise, I think I would probably go back and give it to Look Back. Kind of for what you said, it was like a thing I didn't really know anything about, and I was like, all right, well, let's see here. How is this? And I was like, oh, this is fabulous. So that was a big pleasant surprise, I would say. Any other submissions there?
I would just echo and say, yeah, Look Back definitely was. It's not that I wasn't expecting it to be good, but I didn't know necessarily what to expect at all. And then what I got was like, just, yeah, super high quality everything. So I would echo that sentiment.
All right, I have one last short one we can say. Someone if wants to put something out here. Hey, what's a favorite topic you'd like to discuss on an episode that we have not done yet?
I definitely would like to do more Japanese live action stuff than we have done.
Mm, yeah,
I had on mind for one of those of the that House 1977 movie.
Oh, that would
insane.
Be a great one.
Oh,
another
yeah.
Another good one that's much more recent would be One Cut of the Dead, if you guys have seen that.
I have not.
It's kind of a zombie movie about people making a zombie movie.
Interesting.
That's meta and sounds interesting.
That sounds cool. All right, I'm in for doing that stuff. One that I had, I'll just say it out there. I'll just put it out there. We can say is Back to the Well, and in some portion, doesn't have to be the whole thing, or we can figure out how, but Eva TV. yeah, so I'll just put that.
Go back to where it all started.
Back in the well. Any other submissions from anyone?
I would say as a broader talk, just kind of like we did with Ito, I think diving into Rumiko Takahashi would be, well, I mean, when you talk about like living legend status in, you know, in manga, like
she's, unfortunately her oeuvre is quite long. So.
Indeed. I would say it would probably not be a similar scope, but not the same, you know, we don't have to go quite as far, because I feel like with her, she's more ubiquitous than Ito, right? Like everybody has been exposed to some part of her work in our lifetime to some degree, mm-hmm. whether you like it or not. And, you know, just more because again, people from her era of her like noteworthiness are not to be morbid, or are no longer with us. Like, we lost a career to Kira Toriyama, who I would say was up there with her.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, she's still outputting at, you know, a, not like a frenetic pace, but I mean, she's, I can't name an author who has had every single like manga they've published become serialized into anime. Like, I can't name a single other one who's had that track record. I mean everything she's done has become animated at some point. I feel like eventually it was like an inevitability, because obviously she's globally recognized now and has been for a while. But yeah, just a thought. I know not everybody is the biggest fan of hers here, but I think she still is noteworthy enough to, you know, at least build an episode around.
Okay, that's a good one. Sam, anything from you?
I don't have anything in my brain right now.
That's fine. It's been a long episode. I think with that, we'll call an end to the Kenzo Keys. We will have our special guest of Creepy Nuts coming here live in the studio to play us out.
Accept their awards.
No, they got distracted instead. My cat is on the chair next to me instead of Creepy Nuts, so it's not quite as cool. Any last thoughts from anyone here? We said them all.
I think I said my thoughts are all gone.
Yeah.
I had one, but I forgot it already.
I would say just, we're hard to believe we're already 3 years in.
Yeah.
to this experiment. And, yeah, hopefully we can keep it going, because it's been a good ride so far. So
yeah.
I'm loving the tradition of the Kenzokis. I feel like, you know, it makes me pretend to believe that our four opinions actually carry a substantial amount of weight in the anime industry. Maybe we'll be influential. Who knows?
Oh yeah.
there's a lot of weight being carried around. So, with that, we have our next episode. It could be overridden, but I'm going to say probably not. We're going to do a Ranma 1/2 episode next time, because there's the new series that has finished airing, and there's a few other things of Ranma content out there. So the new series is on Netflix. The original TV series is on disc.
I believe it's on Hulu.
Oh, is it on Hulu?
I watched it not super long ago on Hulu.
Oh, cool. So. All right. Then maybe it's up on Hulu. And the manga is in the Viz Manga app. So if you want to consume any amount of Ranma in any way, there are different things, and we'll not be too particular about what you do. So with that, this is Amo Kenzoku signing off. Saraba.